This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to The Stand with Eamon Dunphy. Now, the RTE / Ryan Tubridy scandal is entering its fourth week today. It's a stunning revelation of incompetence, stupidity, greed, and basically, I'm not sure if RTE can ever recover from this. Earlier in the week, we saw Ryan Tubridy with his agent, Noel Kelly, in a 6.5-hour extravaganza, and it was deeply unsatisfactory from many points of view. And yesterday, the executives of RTE were back in Leinster House and facing the Public Accounts Committee once again. And this only deepened, I think, the crisis that RTE is facing. And we're joined now by the journalist who broke the story, Fionnán Sheehan, Ireland editor of Independent Newspapers. He's one of our very best journalists, and this story is a great public service because it reveals to those who pay 200 million euros a year to fund this organisation how dysfunctional it is. And there was, as Fionnán Sheehan makes clear in his paper today, he reveals and starts his account of yesterday with something that is, in my mind, and struck me at the time as unbelievable. Fionnán, welcome to The Stand, and thank you for joining us. You begin your piece in the Irish Independent today with what you describe as a surreal moment that happened an hour or so into yesterday's 4.5-hour appearance before the Public Accounts Committee. Breda O'Keefe, the former chief financial officer at RTE, who had given such impressive testimony when she was in earlier in the week. Unlike most of RTE's testimony, it was clear, concise, to the point, and she was widely praised for it. However, an hour into yesterday's, she refused to appear yesterday. She said she'd nothing more to add to what she'd said on her previous appearance. And yesterday, after an hour, Adrian Lynch, who is the interim Deputy Director General of RTE, received a text. It was from Breda O'Keefe. She was unhappy, and the committee were outraged, and rightly so. Here was somebody who wished to dispute evidence that was being given to the Public Accounts Committee, who had refused to appear before the Public Accounts Committee, and in fact had deeply misled the Public Accounts Committee in her previous evidence, now wishing to join the debate. It was an outrage. And one of the reasons I put it to you, Fionnán, is that she didn't mention in her original and very impressive and widely praised submission to the Oireachtas that she had given a note of comfort to Noel Kelly and therefore to Ryan Tubridy that would cover the fact that RTE would pick up the tab for the extra 75,000 euro payments if Renault either quit a sponsor or refused to pay them. And she had said in her original testimony that she was against this payment, this extra payment, and had made that very clear. This is remarkable behaviour, but it does raise extraordinary questions. First of all, about the veracity of her original testimony, and secondly, about her belief that she could get Adrian Lynch to make the case for her again yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, apart from being surreal, it was uproariously funny to see it playing out in this manner. Breda O'Keefe had basically said she had nothing further to add, and that's why she didn't appear when she was invited to come back. And basically, two difficulties emerged since her appearance a week earlier. She'd come in on that occasion to the Oireachtas Media Committee, and there was a hushed silence around the room as she delivered her opening statement. And it almost felt like a breath of fresh air, really, because yes. Here you had someone who was straight talking, who wasn't inside in the organisation, who had no kind of conflicts. She seemed to almost come across as kind of a whistleblower who was going to, you know, really tell people what had happened, not somebody who was protecting status quo or anything like that, because she was gone out the door. And she gave a lengthy statement, and at one point, Niamh Smith, the chair, just intervened and said, "Now you're going on longer than you should, but I'm going to allow that because what you're telling us is so important."
Yes.
And the answers back to questions were very straight, and she was contradicting things that the existing and remaining RTE executive were saying around timelines and facts and so on and so forth. But then two aspects of her testimony kind of came unstuck as the week went on. First of all, going to this issue of the indemnity, she said by the time that she left RTE in March of 2020, there was no guarantee being given to Noel Kelly. In fact, there was substantial pushback against it by her and by others, and she really didn't know how that position had caved. Now, Mr. Kelly arrived in with Mr. Tuberty earlier this week with an email from the selfsame Breda O'Keefe, which basically said in it that RTE could offer that letter of comfort guaranteeing payment if the sponsor pulled out. So quite clearly, that contradicted exactly what she said. Now, RTE have come back, said, "Well, look, that's not the same. It's only an email. It's different to a contract. There were differences in terms of what was the finished product in terms of the contract negotiations and so on and so forth." As far as the committee members were concerned yesterday, they weren't buying that. They were basically saying, "Look, it's there in black and white. It's in an email." So Noel Kelly very definitely landed a serious punch there.
Yeah.
To RTE's claims of any pushback. And the pushback, you know, ultimately didn't really matter, because in the end they did cave in. But it did underline this notion that D Forbes had been depicted as this kind of solo running chief yes. executive director general, who she was responsible for all of it. Nobody else knew anything else that was going on here. It was all down to Dee. Dee had private meetings with Noel Kelly. Dee had Zoom meetings. Dee was overruling other yes. people, not telling people what was going on. And here we had the CFO basically actually offering a letter of guarantee and being involved in correspondence with Mr. Kelly and seeming to have a level of knowledge of the deal that was going down, and making offers that went beyond what she was claiming. So probably bought a good day in terms of for Noel Kelly, and a good day for Dee Forbes as well, in terms of showing other people were across what was happening here. And a bad day for Breda O'Keefe, and a bad day for RTE in that regard. And the Oireachtas Committee came down quite heavily there. The second aspect of Breda O'Keefe's testimony that kind of unraveled, you know, she said she left in March 2020, and she came under questioning from one of the members about, well, why did she leave the organization? And she basically said it was fairly simple, you know, it was time for her to move on. She'd been there for 18 years, and that a voluntary redundancy package had come up in the previous years, and she just left with that, and that was fine, and the committee accepted that. However, after the committee RTE staff and trade unions started raising questions, particularly the National Union of Journalists. How come a senior executive in the organization was allowed leave under voluntary redundancy when lots of other staff were turned down and told it was oversubscribed, firstly? And then secondly, her role wasn't abolished or changed. She was directly replaced by another chief financial officer. Normally under redundancy schemes and under the terms of this RTE redundancy scheme, there would have to be some change, some dilution of that role, or it being abolished completely. Effectively, it's not just the person who's made redundant, but also the job that they are doing.
Yes.
And they also raised the question of, like, well, who exactly signed off on this and how much was it? Because somebody who was on that level of salary and that level of year service, it would have been a substantial payment.
Yes, and it emerged yesterday from the Public Accounts Committee hearing that RTE's chief financial officer and her successor, Richard Collins, said that he'd no knowledge of a severance package paid to his predecessor, Breda O'Keefe, in 2020. This is despite the fact that Mr. Collins was on the executive board at the time that they were supposed to be signing off on such packages.
Yeah, and Mr. Collins' argument could be that, listen, I was replacing her, so I wasn't there when this package was negotiated. And that's fair. That's fair enough. There was a transition period there. He was saying he didn't know anything about it. But Adrian Lynch, who quite definitely was on the executive committee at that point, he intervened to say he didn't know anything about it. Alan Kelly, the Labour Party TD, said, well, it's pretty clear the executive is supposed to sign off on all of these deals. Did that happen or not? And Adrian Lynch said, no, it didn't come to the executive committee. Now, you know, he didn't speak for all the executive committee, but he's quite clearly saying it wasn't tabled to his knowledge at any executive committee level. And Kevin Backhurst had checked this matter out as well, and he said there was an agreement directly between Dee Forbes and Ms. O'Keefe on this matter and the subject of her departure. So again, we had the solo running managing director, chief executive, director general, basically
who is ill and retired and can't
who
attend.
Ill, retired, was suspended and can't attend before the committee to shed any light. So Mr. Kelly, Alan Kelly of the Labour Party, basically went on further and said, I'm not happy about this. I want to know what was involved. And I think you need to look into this. I think you need to investigate it.
Yes.
And Kevin Macker said, yeah, we're across that. And they clearly had already done a bit of homework on it. But last night then, as reports were emerging from RTE staff of other senior figures in the organisation also departing during those voluntary redundancy packages that were available in 2017 and 2021, Mr. Backhurst announced an external review of how those redundancy programmes operated. And so we now have yet another investigation that is going to be launched in RTE into what was happening during the Dee Forbes era.
Yes, and we now know that the Dáil has risen for its summer recess, and therefore these inquiries will go on. But the public, and Alan Kelly also said this, I think, Finan, that he was no wiser and in fact more confused now than he had been at the beginning of this process. And I think most people will feel the same. I just want to ask you about this €120,000 that Ryan Tubridy claims that he didn't take. It was some kind of loyalty bonus or exit package at the end of the contract he'd signed between 2015 and 2020, I believe. What is it with this €120,000, Finan?
So the €120,000 figure, and you can say it's two different €120,000 we're talking about, but it's actually, in the end, it's the one figure that is moving around between balance sheets and contracts. And this was basically €120,000 that Ryan Tubridy was due at the end of his previous contract. He waived it at the time. Now, look, people waive these things on the basis that they're getting a new contract. You know, let's not give them too many brownie points here. Yeah. And you make for, you know, it's kind of a rollover thing. If you were to depart the organization, you'd probably take it as a loyalty bonus. But, you know, why you've been paid a loyalty bonus if you're staying on would be the argument. So he signs up to his new contract. This 120 grand is waived. But it would appear at that point that RTE's finance and accounting department basically had stockpiled 120 grand to pay to him. And because this sum then wasn't paid, as a bookkeeping exercise, they had to trade it off on the balance sheet from the credit to the debit side, and they ended up reducing the figures that he was paid over the previous number of years because the loyalty bonus hadn't been paid. Now, that doesn't make much sense at all to a layman, but in accountancy terms, there is some merit to it. So his figures for 2017 to 2019 are therefore reduced by 120 grand. Then RTE are publishing their top 10 earnings. That department, whoever responsible for that, took the newly revised figures, which were lower than he was actually paid, and that was what was published to the Oireachtas and beyond. RTE then come back now in 2023 on foot of discovering the Renault deal, the 75 grand, the barter account. They start having a look into, well, did anything like this happen before? They go take a look at the previously disclosed sums and find that, aha, Ryan Tuberty's earnings were previously understated, and therefore that needs to be corrected. Those are all bunched together and they're put out there to the general public as being a 6-year long issue where Ryan Tuberty's earnings were misstated. Let me just quote the Sinn Féin TD Imelda Munster, who summed it up. We are talking about secret payments of 345 grand that went undisclosed. That's an accurate picture in terms of what the public perceived to be going on here. It's not an accurate picture in terms of what would appear to have actually happened. So let's break it down into two tranches here, okay? We've got the Renault payments, the 75 grand, the invoices, the barter account, all of that. That came out basically in an audit by Deloitte of the RTE annual accounts. They picked up on these invoices that were being paid through a UK company, no name on them, just said consultancy fees, and being paid to a company that was owned by Noel Kelly. Deloitte look into that. They don't get a satisfactory answer. Deloitte go to the Audit and Risk Committee of the RTE board. They hire Grant Thornton, another major accountancy firm, to look into the matter, and Arthur Cox, a major solicitor's firm. They spend 3 months going into this entire affair to get to the bottom of it. So at the end of that process, we have two of the biggest accountancy firms and one of the biggest legal firms in the country have got to the bottom of that issue over the course of 3 months. Suddenly, RTE decide we better do a look back at, did any of this happen before?
Yes.
They don't go to Grant Thornton. They don't go to Deloitte. They don't go to Arthur Cox. They go internally to RTE to get a report done that only took 3 days.
Yes.
And on foot of that report that came back to them, they put it out there that Ryan Tuberty also had an issue with 2017 to 2019 and a sum of 120 grand. Now, Mr. Tuberty does openly put his hand up and say, when those figures for 2017 to 2019 were declared, he should have questioned the fact that they didn't match what he was paid, but he didn't do anything wrong there. While the payments between 2020 and 22, which are the barter account, Renault, the 75 grand, they have been described widely across the Oireachtas as an effort to conceal payments, as an act of deception, as a way to hide payments to Ryan Tuberty. That is what has been put out there. And that's a pretty accurate description of what's happening based upon what we've been hearing from the Oireachtas committees and the conclusions being drawn by TDs as a result. What didn't happen from 2017 to 2019 is that there was hidden payments, concealment or deceit. Yeah. RTE are now admitting there was an error. there was a mistake. And why exactly they conflated these two issues of 2017 to 2019 and 2020 to 2022 is very serious. And there are very serious questions to be asked of the RTE board about that. How do you get a three-month-long investigation conducted by two major accountancy firm and one major legal firm, and you establish all your facts there, and then you tack on a three-day skim of internal documents in RTE and chuck it out there as though it's the same. So the Grant Thornton are back reporting on that. They're due back in the next 2 weeks. It looks at this point as though they will come back and say there was an error in RTE. It was about the manner in which they accounted for this matter. Nothing to do with Ryan Tuberty, not his fault. And then very serious questions are going to have to be asked about the RTE board about why exactly they put that information out there without any context, without any explanation, and without getting their facts straight.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Flimsy stands slowing you down? Well, it's time to upgrade. Armadillo builds durable North American-made tablet stands and kiosks. We're so confident we offer a lifetime warranty. So, elevate your business and visit armadillo.com. That's armadillo.com and use code ACAST for 5% off. Armadillo, built to last, designed to impress.
Now, Fanon, whilst this story has been running and deepening, I think you might agree, and getting worse for everybody involved in it, except, in my view, the TDs on the two committees, the Media Committee and the Public Accounts Committee, given that they've only got 10 minutes, given that in Tuberty and Kelly's appearance on Tuesday, they were only had stuff dumped on them at 8:30 in the morning, they've been really good and forensic. Some of them have been outstanding. There's another story emerging again this morning. It's carried in your paper and other papers, about Dave Fanning. A lot of people have been trying to rubbish the committee, saying that they're being hostile and nasty. And Dave Fanning, for the second time in a couple of weeks, appears to have disgraced himself by talking about Ryan Tuberty and Noel Kelly and RTE executives facing a nonsensical Oireachtas Nuremberg trial. Now, Kevin Backhurst, the new Director General, has rebuked him for that. He's a client of Noel Kelly's, and he previously put out a very nasty tweet about the late Christy Dignam, which is really horrible. Now, there's a conflict of interest some people have. Clearly, I'm not suggesting that Fanning even has the wit to know what a conflict of interest is, but it was a very pointed criticism of Oireachtas committee members representing the public, who I think have acquitted themselves very, very well, given the circumstances they're working under. Would you agree with that? I mean, neither you or I have ever spent time praising politicians for being extremely good, but I think they have been.
Yeah, I suppose you could argue a disproportionate amount of time has been attributed to one topic here across two committees.
But that's because
they're trying to get to the bottom of it, though. They're not getting straight answers.
It's
taxpayers' money. It's license fee payers' money. It's not just taxpayers' money. It's license fee payers' money. It's an hypothecated tax. You don't have a choice on paying it. It is directed towards a particular source. It's every household in the country has to pay. So we all have a stake in it as a result. And the TDs and the senators and the Oireachtas committees are trying to get to the bottom of this issue. And as we've just discussed, the further down the rabbit hole they go, the more they seem to be discovering what started out here as just an issue around payments to Ryan Tuberty has actually grown into a more wide-ranging scandal around exactly how RTE is run, and a number of things have come out of this that we would never
we would
never have known about. For example, the operation of the RTE BART count, which has come under quite a lot of scrutiny. Ultimately, RTE were behaving as though they were a private commercial entity, when in fact this was the management of license fee payers' money that was being spent on $5,000 on flip-flops. We would not have known about Toy Show the Musical. And when I say we would not have known, that was because RTE were refusing to answer questions for the past 10 months about Toy Show the Musical, how much it was costing. Everybody knew it was a complete flop last Christmas. It was a complete turkey. It had been controversial in terms of its setup in the first place, clashing with the established pantomimes on the Christmas scene, which support a lot of people at that time of the year. It had been an unmitigated disaster, and RTE abjectly refusing to say what it had cost. And ultimately, we found out because of this process of the Oireachtas committees that it cost $2.2 million in losses to the license fee payer. And there was no accountability in that. And now we were finding out this week that there were major payouts, to golden handshakes given to senior executives and figures within the organization, which now has to be investigated. So we have a whole heap of investigations underway here now, some of which can be directly attributed to the digging that the Oireachtas committees have done.
Yeah, and I want to talk about young TDs, new TDs, people I didn't know, frankly. Alan Dillon, Fine Gael TD from Mayo. John Brady, Sinn Féin TD, excellent. Paul McAuliffe, Fianna Fáil TD, excellent. And really excellent, James O'Connor, a young TD from Cork East. All of these people, you know, we get the impression, and the impression is abroad, that, and I've been spreading it for the last 40 years, that these people in Leinster House are time servers, the hacks and all of this stuff. The people we've seen on this Public Accounts Committee and the Media Committee, Imelda Munster is another one, who is a Sinn Féin. I might vote for the Shinners next time, if you don't mind, Fionn, because they've been particularly good. The chair of the Public Accounts Committee has been really good. It has exposed RTE as totally unfit for purpose. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, and
again, these people have shown that up, as you've just said. They have unpicked all of this, despite the dissembling, the time wasting, the 10-minute limit on questioning, all of that.
Yeah, but I suppose the one criticism you'd have is the structure of the Oireachtas committees, this 10-minute thing, as you say. Why there's not more collaboration between the individual members in terms of dividing up the list of topics and saying, you're covering that, you're covering that, and you're covering that. Hence, you've got a whole host of, and if that takes 20 minutes, then give whoever it is 20 minutes to tease that out. rather than the same question being asked. I mean, look, the other day with Mr. Tubridy, Mr. Kelly, they must have been asked by at least 10 different TDs and senators across the two committee hearings about the famous invoices to the barter company and who authorised them and why there was no name on them and so on and so forth. And they were given the same answer. So it did get quite repetitive. Ultimately, the viewer at home was able to see, well, he's given the same answer and it's not satisfactory to them. And that's why they keep asking. But it would have been better if one member had come in and dissected that for 20 minutes or half an hour or whatever it took to get to the bottom of it. But beyond that, you have to say, I mean, the Oireachtas Committee system, this is what they do on a weekly basis, often quite unheralded work. Some committees are very good. Malcolm Byrne, the Fianna Fáil senator, has been noting ruefully on a couple of occasions that the attendance is so strong amongst members. But he says when we're here dealing with the dog days on basic old topics around communications and media, there's not as many people there. There's certainly nobody from the outside looking in. So this is what the committee system does. It holds people to account. It brings them in, and nobody working in the public sector wants to be appearing for an Oireachtas committee. It's one of the, although their ability to make findings is very limited, their ability to put people under a spotlight is what keeps manners on an awful lot of people who are handling taxpayers' money and public policy as well, because they will know that ultimately they could be the one who has to appear before an Oireachtas committee down the line and face questions.
Now, the Dáil is in recess for a couple of months, and inquiries are underway. I noted the Controller and Auditor General was there yesterday and on other occasions. In your opinion, Fionnán, is RTE, as it presently stands, and Kevin Backhurst is the new Director General coming into it, is it viable? Can it be sustained? Or is it, well, it's clearly full of problems that look like they're terminal. They don't have an executive board, which is right. Gavin Backhurst abolished the executive board. But who's going to commission programmes? Who's going to deal with people who want to make programmes? Are they going to get more money? They clearly haven't got the 5 million they get annually for the Late Late Show because a popular host has left it. This is an extraordinary situation, almost goo-boo.
Yeah, it is. And the more that aspects of the organisation are looked at, the more depressing it is. Now, look, is there a guarantee that if you went this deep into many other public bodies that you wouldn't come up with the same outcome? And unfortunately, there isn't. I mean, aspects of this issue and these inquiries are quite reflective of issues we've seen in the past. The lavish spending in FOSS, for example, springs to mind. Some of the payments that were made in the charity sector that came out of a decade ago. That also springs to mind. If you sit through the Public Accounts Committee, I've been doing so since, you know, for the last 20-odd years, you do tend to see these things crop up on an annual basis. The Controller and Auditor General comes along with a report showing the waste of taxpayers' money or the poor definition of public policy resulting in the waste of taxpayers' money. Officials come in and say, oh yeah, well, this is why it happened and it won't happen again. And then if you're around long enough, you see the same officials are appearing from the same departments 5 years later. Yeah, I mean, if you were to spend this long going into particular aspects of spending in the HSE, I dare say you'd come up with things as well. In terms of RTE, well, we know that it's not going to be the same RTE as it was a month ago into the future. We're being told that beyond this immediate crisis, there is going to be a restructuring of the management. Very definitely, the role of the board is going to be strengthened. There is going to be greater levels of corporate governance, auditing and financing. functions taking place in the organization. And also the very structure of it is now in question, because Mr. Backhurst is, Kevin Backhurst, the new director general, is smart enough to know now is not the time to be asking for funding for RTE, because they're dealing with many other issues, but down the line they're going to have to. And the funding will now be contingent on not the status quo, but reform. What is the organization going to look like from now on? And in that regard, everything has to be on the table. Is it slimmed down completely into one, into an organization that just does things like news and current affairs, children's programming, the Irish language, Irish heritage, and so on? And anything that's to do with entertainment is outsourced to the private sector, and they buy it in. Is there an argument that everything that's beyond news and current affairs should be operated by a different entity entirely? I think all of those questions are now up in the air about RTE, even where they're based at the moment on their Montrose campus. Do they need to stay in an organisation that size?
Yes, Kevin Backhurst raised that prospect himself in an interview with Newstalk. He also expressed some reservations about dealing with Noel Kelly, the agent, anymore. He also expressed the view that salaries were too high for some of the so-called stars.
Yeah, and he's coming from the UK, having previously worked with the BBC and worked with Ofcom, who are the regulator of the TV media and communications sector over in the UK as well. So he'd have a good awareness. I suppose the argument for too long has been that, you know, we're competing with the UK and we're competing with America. And now that argument has been whittled down more to say, well, no, they are bigger markets. So therefore, we can't compare the salaries that we are paying to people here to what they would earn over in the UK. And if people are going to leave, they're going to leave. I mean, you know, that would be a bit like saying Shamrock Rovers have to compete with Manchester City because otherwise our best players will leave and go across to the UK. It's just an acceptance and an acknowledgement that we are a small market, and maybe we need to be comparing ourselves to countries like Denmark, Belgium, and Austria rather than the UK and the US.
Okay, Fanon, you've been very helpful to us, and more importantly, you've done the country some service with your story, which will run and run and run, and indeed for the Independent Newspaper Group, of which you are the Ireland editor. We're very grateful to Fanon Sheehan for his contribution on this crisis to the Stand, to all of you for listening. That's all we have time for now. We'll talk to you soon.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, welcome to the Next Wave podcast. Consider us your chief AI officer in your business. My name is Matt Wolf. I have the number one YouTube channel in the AI space. I also run futuretools.com, and I'm joined by my co-host, Nathan Lands, founder of lore.com. We want to bring you the latest AI news and trends, show you how you can use AI in your business and personal life, and help make it super easy for you to understand and execute. We're going to equip you with the knowledge to thrive in this upcoming wave of change.